Welcome to Real Talk Friday with your hosts Rohan Das and Gus Urban.
In this groundbreaking podcast segment, we delve deep into the lives of individuals whose journey has been profoundly transformed by their faith. From the trial of adversity to the triumph of redemption, we explore real stories, real people, whose encounter with God has reshaped their existence.
Join us as we embark on a candid and enlightening journey where authenticity meets spirituality every Friday on Real Talk Friday, part of Logan City Christian Church.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Real Talk Friday. I'm so glad you guys could join us and we are so thankful for your support. Thank you again for the views, comments, and you know, just giving us that praise report really helps us do so much for you and just boosts our confidence. That's what it is, yeah. Thank you again, and I would like to say that we have a new guest in the studios today, and we thank him because he came back again to do a full recording. Initially, we had a bit of a technical difficulty, and we did the full recording, and nothing recorded. It's like the, you know, we can do it again, but this time we'll press record, that kind of scenario that happened. But we thank him for being here. As usual, I'm going to give it to Gus, and he can introduce our new guest.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back again. Today we have Laurie. He's a good friend of ours, been at church for a while now.
Yep.
10 years, I think, you mentioned.
A bit
over 10 years. A leader in our church, a guy that really helps a lot of our congregation out as well. A very busy man.
Yeah.
You're retired, but not retired.
R-E-T-Y-R-E-D.
There you go. You've been retreaded.
Yeah.
So a man of God, a man that really keeps busy and puts the time that he has into people, into God's church, into the ministry, and not just this ministry, other ministries out there as well. So,
yeah.
Welcome, Laurie. It's fantastic to have you.
Thanks, Gus.
Yeah.
Ron.
Yeah, well, welcome. As I said, and we're so glad you could join us again. We know a bit of your story from our last failed podcast, but we were really, really touched by your story.
Okay.
And I just really hope that this podcast that we're doing again can bring out the same exact story because we were really touched.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, as Gus said in our previous podcast, Notebook 3.
It was like the Notebook 3. So.
It was really good. So we'll start off again.
Yeah.
And just want to know a little bit about your childhood, where you grew up, and, you know, things that you would like to share about your childhood that is significant to you and you know, in terms of your relationship with God and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it up to you now.
Yeah, well, I was raised in a Roman Catholic church family, and I was one of six kids, a second eldest.
Wow.
So there was girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Oh, there we go.
And Mum lost a couple in the middle and at the end.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So, but anyway, we all grew up together, and Mum and Dad were just full-on committed Catholics, and consequently, I became an altar boy, and in the middle of winter, seeing this white stuff on the side of the ground, going, that looks interesting. Riding my bike to be on doing altar boy, at the church at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Gee whiz.
Which wasn't my favourite time. and I touched this leaf and it just snapped in half, and it was that cold. It was
that frost,
white frost. Yeah.
Wow.
So I never forgotten that. So even with your gloves and your jackets and everything, you were freezing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's nothing what we get here in Queensland compared to other places in the world, obviously.
No, that's right.
So anyways, I was raised, then went to the Christian Brothers in from grade four on. And so that was an interesting experience.
That was schooling, was it?
Yeah, schooling.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
From grade four through to year 10 these days. They called it junior in those days.
Okay,
so.
Yep.
So I started year 11, and as a result of my year 10 results, I was given an offer to join the Commonwealth Bank.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So So, but yeah, so that's pretty much the grounding spiritually.
Okay, that's
from,
great. Yeah.
From my background.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yep. So it was very strong, very, very committed. 100% committed.
Yeah, I guess that would have great benefits in a home, really. Like, you say Catholic, but that God influence, a lot of biblical principles.
The godly biblical principles were there.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so not so much on a foundation of salvation, being born again, but at least there'd
more,
been good...
More on a...
morally...
A strict basis.
Okay. Yep, yep, yep.
I think that's the right word.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, yeah. You had to conform sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, okay, yep.
So
yep.
You learnt what to do and you made sure you did it or else.
Yeah. No, that's so good.
Yeah.
I want to know more of your relationship with God. Where did you see, and like, for example, what did you think of God when you, was he like just this, you know, supreme being up there, or was there like a relationship you had with him when you knew the word of God and there was a relationship you started having with him?
Well, when I was about 13, there was all in the Catholic system, you had the rosary and the novenas and all these different things they had on from time to time,
mm-hmm.
and Lent, and you know, and you had to say the rosary as a family each night, all during Lent for that 6 weeks, and
yeah, okay,
you know, and I heard this song on the hit parade, "Telephone to Glory,"
mm-hmm.
and it goes something like this: "Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine! Oh to feel the current moving on the line." I can't remember some words, but then you can talk to Jesus on the royal telephone.
Yeah, yeah,
and that song at 13 years of age just witnessed in my gut.
Yeah, wow.
And after that song, I could not pray to Mary or Joseph or any of the saints or anything, only to Jesus on the royal telephone. So, and I didn't consider it prayer, I considered it talking to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was more relational.
Yep.
Rather than, I felt connected rather than out there and I'm here, separated sort of thing.
Yeah, you know?
So that right at 13 years of age, that happened to me, which was good.
Yeah.
But I was still in the Catholic system.
Yeah, yeah.
All the way through, so.
But it's incredible how God will reach out through certain different avenues.
Oh, he meets us all where we're at.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. The Catholic people, they love Jesus. They love God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they are in a strong relationship with him.
Yep.
But at the same time, having learnt what I learnt now, this is more of a... God's more of a loving God with grace and mercy, whereas in the feeling I had in that system was it was compulsion.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yep. No, too easy.
Yeah, wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. You know, I really love how you said, you know, God meets you where you are.
Mm.
And that's a similar story to me. You know, he met me where I was, and at the time that I wasn't my best, he met me there.
Yeah. We're all the prodigal sons until we start listening to him, aren't we? You know.
No, that's true. So. Yeah. So let's fast forward a bit and tell us about your story, because from our last podcast, we are so fortunate to know your story through our last podcast. You had a beautiful story with your wife, and we want to know how you and your wife met and how God, you know, worked on your relationship, because I think that was very, very good.
Mm.
So when I was 16 and got this job in the Commonwealth Bank, I started... Being the first one in the family of all the kids to actually get a job.
Yeah, right.
That helped Dad and Mum very, very much.
Yeah, okay.
Because half my wage went on board.
Oh, wow.
Half.
50%.
Think of that, all you kids out there.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that was what was needed in the family at that time.
Yeah.
But... So anyway, I decided I got my first FJ Holden and a bit of freedom, and that was the first car in the whole family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Mum and Dad never had a car. Dad was in the railway as an engine driver, and we went by rail and bus everywhere, or walk or cycle.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that was our reality growing up.
Yeah, wow.
With six kids on one salary, that would have been a hard row.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so and Dad was always working shift work as much as possible to get as much as he could.
Yeah.
So I admire him for what he did and what he knew. He was a good dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So and Mum was a good, faithful mum as well. So,
yeah, that's incredible.
So, yeah, very, very good people, yeah.
And I guess, sorry to interject there, but I remember when we interviewed Mike Corrie with his prison ministry, he was saying how on Mother's Day, where pretty much all the Mother's Day cards would be bought and sent out by the criminals, but on Father's Day, they'd barely sell any cards, Father's Day cards.
Wow.
Like they're just, and so we just think of the blessing of, even though you were just telling us of how financially it was tough and missed out on, like say, someone might have had a car that you knew, but you guys, you know.
Mm.
At the end of the day, having a great father and a great mother is such a huge step into living a successful life.
Yeah, I remember Dad actually sitting down at the kitchen table with the newspaper and going through and all the different supermarkets and getting all their specials and writing out lists for each of us to go and do.
Yeah, well.
So want to go this way, want to go that way, and that.
Yeah, well.
We'd all have our list to go to various different shops to get all these specials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To help manage and be a good steward of what he had. Yeah. So I realise that now it was good stewardship, but it was essential.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Dad was very diligent at doing.
So yeah, and that's
very,
a great...
Very smart man. He wanted to be an engineer but never got the opportunity. But he was in the railway for 43 years.
Wow, great career.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Went through from fireman to steam train driver.
Wow.
To diesel driver to electric train driver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was one of the first... four commissioned in Queensland for the testing of the electric trains.
Really? Mm. Wow. Mm.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. So good. I like what you said about Mike Corrie. You know, something you added also in that podcast is honouring your parents.
Yeah.
It's with a promise.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's very significant. Like we all must remember that.
Absolutely.
And we can see you doing great things now, and we just know where it's come from, you know, that honoring and the blessing from your parents that have brought you so far here. And
they were very diligent with what they knew.
Yeah.
And it's funny because me knowing you for 10 plus years, I can definitely see the diligence and the attention to detail, the stewardship, all those sort of things. Like just.
And faithfulness is a word that comes through. They were always faithful to what they believed and to their family and to everything that they committed to. So
good. Such simple things, but important and powerful things for life.
Solid character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic.
Wow, amazing story. Yeah.
Mm. So coming back to my wife.
That's where we were.
As a result of the getting the job, obviously I had some money and had some time to do some things start to live my life instead of being the protected little boy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started to spread my wings, and my mother's brother used to do ballroom dancing, so I just somehow got to hear about Sandy Robinson's ballroom studio on a Saturday morning, so I started going along there.
Yep.
And that was a blast. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. So you had a ball, eh?
I express music through my feet.
Yeah,
through my body.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
So got into that. After about 6 months, I started going to the night sessions.
You
know, Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Yeah. Okay.
Bob Pellegrini's in Queen Street. Mm-hmm. So I had a big dance studio there. So anyway, we're only there a short time, and I got invited to go to Sandy Robertson's place over at New Farm, and he had a big ballroom underneath his house.
Yeah, wow.
So all the posts were pulled out, girders everywhere, and just this beautiful timber floor laid, and it was just magnificent. So, but when you went first in, it was like a garage with probably three or four bays opening.
Yep.
And then it came in and underneath, and it was all under the whole house, a big old Queenslander right on the waterfront at Newfoundland.
Wow.
So, but yeah, and this was just amazing for me. So, so I was so eager. I got there really early and I was first there.
Yeah.
And the opening was there, but no one else was around. So I just sat in the back and the lights weren't on. It was dark.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here's this gorgeous looking woman strutting through the door. And I go, oh my goodness, look at that. Yeah, I was besotted right there.
Yeah, wow.
And I could only see her in silhouette, but the hourglass figure and everything, she was amazing.
Yeah, wow.
So things got started to happen and people started to get to know each other. I'd never seen her before.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people hadn't seen each other before. So
okay, yep.
Because they come from different class areas, you know. But the reason they wanted us to come there was to pair us up for competition work.
Okay.
So God had his hand in it and made Gene and me pastors, partners.
Yeah, wow.
So I liked that.
Yeah, I could imagine.
She didn't like that. But that's okay.
Just a bit inconvenient.
Yeah.
Eh?
But we just happened to be the right height for each other and everything worked out fine.
Yeah, matches
you've
got
to have your hip height and everything.
Match made it happen, that's
So cut a long story short, we did the competition work for a while and everything, and then, but she was going out with all these other guys all the time, but I was being faithful and pick her up and take it home and all that sort of stuff, but nothing was happening, so.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, cut a long story short, she went tobogganing with another boyfriend from the studio and hurt her hip, so she couldn't dance, hurt her leg actually, and couldn't dance for a while.
Yeah.
So we had to go to this, and it was probably about a good 18 months to 2 years that went on.
Wow.
So that I but all that time, I was besotted with her. So,
and I
was praying to God.
Yeah.
And say, God, turn her heart to me, please.
Yeah, wow.
You know, turn her heart to me. But nothing was happening 2 years down the track. So I thought, I'll take someone else out.
Yeah.
So one of the other girlfriends that she was associated with, she was over Chermside way. I took her to the movies, and it was nothing. There was no connection. So anyway, just after that, we had to go to a competition at the Ryland Studio in Toowoomba,
mm-hmm.
and so Mum had an old Ford Consul. My FJ was off the road, so we jumped in this four-cylinder Ford Consul. Big heavy car with a little motor. Chugga, 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 chugga. Not like the FJ. So I was taking both Jean and this other girl up for the competition.
Yep.
So on the way up, the girl I took to the movie sat in the front and Jean sat in the back. And as soon as they got there, they disappeared, and I didn't see him for the rest of the day, virtually.
Oh, wow.
And that was from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
For all this studio. See him on the dance floor, but not connecting.
Not
sitting with each other or anything.
So
I was like the wallflower, you know. So we jumped in the car to go home, and Toowoomba had this pea soup fog. And it was we didn't see it until we got to the top of the range. And as soon as you got to the top of the range, here's this thick fog that was just, oh man, you could probably only see about 20 or 30 feet in front of you.
Wow.
And so we're going down this windy mountain road, and anyway, when they got in the car to go home, the other girl that was in the front, she said, I'm getting in the back and I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
So Jean had to sit in the front. and bench seats in the front.
Oh, lucky you.
and she's sitting right against the door.
Yeah.
You know. And as soon as we get to the top of the range, she sidles over and puts her arm around me here and up on my shoulder. And I go, this is good. then she says, no, I was so naive. Then she says, if I told you you had a good physique, would you hold it against me? And I said, no. She looked at me and says, are you sure? And I thought for a minute and finally got it.
Yeah.
So that's where God turned her around.
Yeah, wow.
After 2.5 years of praying and asking God to turn her heart.
And that 2.5 years would have been an emotional roller coaster.
Agonizing.
Yeah.
Agonizing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Gut wrenching.
I could only imagine.
That's so good. You know what? I want to hear like how you actually, you know, in that 2.5 years, were you like dead set about her? Like, this is the one I'm going to marry. This is the one that I have my future with.
Mm.
Or was it a time where you were not sure? Or was it that you just kept on praying God, asking Him?
Kept praying and thanking Him for it. And you know, I've learnt now where I'm at in my life now. There's a thing in the Bible that says, "Pray with prayer and supplication, put your petitions to God."
Mm. Yep.
And I've only just recently looked up what supplication really mean. It means really digging in there and earnestly saying, "I want this. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this." You know, that's what supplication means.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's true. It's not just
a light prayer that just, I'd like this, God. You know, no, it's like birthing it, really.
Yeah.
Mm. No, that's so cool because there's also a parable that talks about it where you keep on knocking.
Absolutely.
And you know, your friend will get irritated and finally give you what you want go on your way.
Yeah.
So I think that's so important, being being like a prayer warrior and you know, keeping on dead set serious about what you want in terms of relationship or anything in life.
Yeah.
I think you keep on asking God. Mm. And you know, unfortunately, as I said even in my last podcast, we're the kind of generation that need things very quick.
Mm.
Yeah. Like a fast food restaurant. But it just doesn't happen that way. We have to keep on praying, and God has its right time, and everything will come at its right time.
And He prepares us as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
true.
But the thing I've learned also is all our dreams, hopes, and desires, God has given them to us. He's planted them in us. We're the soil, and He's the provider of the seed and everything.
Yeah.
So every dream, hope, and desire we personally have is God-given.
Mm-hmm.
When I realised that it wasn't mine and I was asking Him to be my helper, when I realised that He was in control and His timing is perfect, but at the time also I wasn't ready to receive what I was asking for at the time and I had to grow a bit to come to that point.
And
maybe the other person had to grow a bit too. So God's timing's perfect.
No, that's...
I've learnt that.
Yeah.
But I didn't appreciate that at the time.
No. Yeah. I could imagine, but that makes perfect sense. It's and how many people would have given up or you know, who knows what could have happened when
that's persisting.
Patience,
persistence, and perseverance.
Yep.
And you know, if it's in your heart and your soul and your being to that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the passion God plants in you, and that's your purpose in life.
Yeah.
And it fits in within His will. When His will and your plan and your commitment to it are in alignment, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
We just got to learn the patience, persistence, and perseverance.
Yep. No, the things we don't naturally have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we must pray about it. But thank you again for that story. That's beautiful. And as you know, as you said in the last podcast that didn't get recorded, it's worthy of a notebook movie again.
Yeah, well, this is just the start. So.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more to go.
Yeah.
So let's continue your story with you and your wife and how you got into ministry and everything. So let's take it from where you stopped and want to know more about how God led you to ministry.
So from the time I met her, I was about 17.
Mm-hmm.
So it took 4 years of going together after, well, 2 years, 4 years of knowing her, 2 years of chasing her.
Okay, yeah.
Or trying to woo her, yeah. and getting God on the job. And then another 2 years before we got married.
Okay.
So,
yep.
So we got married, moved to Bundaberg. I was in the Commonwealth Bank and they transferred me there.
Okay.
At 21. And so we're both 21-year-olds in Bundaberg with no family support or anything. So
yeah, wow.
Totally in an area that we'd never seen yeah. or been before.
Yep.
But we make the most of everything and
fit it in
and it was really good.
Yeah, no,
so,
cool.
So beautiful place, Bundaberg.
Yeah.
So I was involved in tennis and did a bit of rugby league then. So,
yeah, cool.
Because tennis was my passion, I got an injury and I thought, tennis I can play all my life. Rugby league's very short life.
Yeah, that's right.
So I still enjoy it. But,
yeah.
But I certainly have that competitive nature.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And spirit, so, you know. Gene used to like me to go and play tennis for fun. I was trained to play tennis to win.
To win, absolutely. And they are two totally different mentalities. Yeah,
yeah, so, but she wasn't a sports person at all. She was a very, very talented seamstress and dressmaker.
Yep.
So she had great skills. She worked for Dion's bridal wear, mm-hmm. which was the top bridal company in Brisbane, Queensland.
Yeah, wow.
And the boss would only let her make the gowns for the salesmen to take as samples for to sell their wares.
Yeah, wow. So that sample has to be bang on.
Her work was just spot on every time.
Yep.
Later on, she was working with her girlfriend who was a... and these two girlfriends all met at Dion's.
Mm-hmm.
One was a cutter and the other two were seamstresses. So, but the cutter and the two seamstresses all worked and were lifelong friends all wow. their life until she passed. Yeah.
Yeah,
the other two are still alive. So.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so, but she passed just before her 70th birthday. So,
okay.
So she had a good innings, but, you know. These things, we don't argue with God, we just accept it.
Yeah, so, no, exactly.
So, right. But anyway, these four girls, they were just all hourglass figures mm-hmm. and they used to have to get the bus and walk down George Street to get to the sewing place, the workplace.
Yep.
She used to tell us about all the guys on the building projects in the George Street with the wolf whistles and then they'd go, play up to it, wiggle their hips a bit, strut their stuff. Oh well,
yeah,
we're all human.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah. No, but that's such a good story. I'll come into more of the time that you lost your wife and your dear friend, because I feel like you have such a good story, and if I look into that, you know, unfortunate moment that. You know, you lose your best friend, you lose, you know, your life partner.
Mm.
My relationship with God, I would question it. I'll be like, you know, I know that she had to go at some point, but it's why have you left me alone without her? I would have rather gone with her. You know, these kind of thoughts are very natural to come in.
Mm.
I just want to know how you dealt with this situation and your relationship with God. Was it hindered or was it... Did you always question what happened, the tragedy?
Well, that goes back to our journey of marriage. Because in our marriage, like everyone, you've got this culture and this culture and you're trying to make them work together, you know.
Mm.
And you've got these habits and this one's got this habits, you know, and they clash and you've got to work all that out.
Yep.
So over a probably 15-year period, there was a bit of... tic-tac-toe from time to time. I think every couple has arguments from time to time and differences of opinion.
Yeah.
And we didn't have God's way of dealing with it. My wife was a visionary and a people person. So she actually went out to, when we were in Bundaberg, we actually had a situation where we were struggling financially, and then Jean's brother actually said, get your butt down to Brisbane with this, I want to show you a business. Oh, okay. So we, four and a half, 5 hour drive back from Bundaberg at that time.
Yep.
So we did that and came down and found this direct marketing business. And so she actually got fired up with it. I mean, I'm the staid, I'm a banker.
Yeah.
And I'm a shy, introverted person at the time.
Yeah.
So that wasn't my bag.
Yeah.
But if she wanted to do it, I was prepared to support her, you know.
Yeah.
So we went back to Bundaberg and we started this thing, and well, she started this thing and I backed it and supported her and played the backdrop sort of thing, you know. My attitude was always, well, you go do it, I'll do the paperwork and manage things behind the scenes thing, you know. Yeah. So anyway, cut a long story short, she dressed me up like a in a safari suit. Pink and grey safari suit in the 70s, mind you, in a country town, and dressed me up and trained me to do this presentation of how the business worked for potential recruits.
Yeah.
And I knew it. This guy had trained me from Brisbane, and I could do it verbatim.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got up there and I said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," and looked at the person in the front row. And froze.
Oh, no way.
And they said I went so white they thought I was going to fall over.
Oh.
So the guy that trained me raced from the back and grabbed me before I did fall over.
Oh, no way.
And that was my first experience of getting up in front of a group of people.
Really?
It scared the living daylights out of me.
See, I never would have picked that with you because you do a lot of public speaking now and everything like that. And
well, you can change.
Yeah, true.
you can learn. Necessity is a great teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, it took a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned a lot, and God knew that I needed to learn all that, and put me with her that would bring that out in me.
True, yeah, very true.
So she was not going to ever do paperwork, or be a detail person, except in sewing and creativity.
Okay,
But when it comes to people and intuitive and the compassion and the heart for people, she had it in spades, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that was God's gift to her, you know.
Yeah.
And
she
put her with me and me with her
to
complement each other.
Exactly right.
When we into our Christian walk, we actually started going to Christian Outreach Center because Jean was watching these TV programs online.
Mm-hmm.
So she changed to be a Catholic for us to get married. But the instruction that she was getting from the priest up in Bundaberg didn't answer all questions. So anyway, we moved back to Brisbane with this business,
mm-hmm.
and we're in Baden, and we're just full on forgetting Christianity, forgetting religion, forgetting everything.
Yep.
We're going full ball. We're going to be prosperous.
Yeah. Okay.
So we went down that track for a season, and after about two or three years, I said, I don't know about you, but I just feel so dry and desolate on the inside.
Yeah.
I want to go back to church. And she said, yeah, I've been thinking the same.
Yeah, wow.
And we lived at Baden at the time. So the Baden Catholic Charismatic Movement was just the base, embryonic base in the Baden Catholic Church.
Yeah, wow.
Which we had no idea.
Yeah.
So we trotted off there on the Sunday morning and then met somebody and they invited us to a Sunday night, which was the charismatic version of the Sunday night service, you know. And that was different. That was just totally out of comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, I think, holy cow, what's all this, you know. But it was still within the Catholic Church. So I'm thinking, okay, understand all this, you know. So anyway, we cut that long story short. We went over to move to Baden and Hawthorne to buy our first house and went to Peter's and Paul's. But we got introduced to a Casillo movement in the Catholic Church, which was a short course in Christianity, Spanish word.
Okay.
And it was a live-in three-day weekend where people testified as to what God had done in their life and how they'd changed their life for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Gene wanted to do this, but they wouldn't let the women do it without the husband doing it first.
Ah.
So I was coerced into going
once again to this.
What do they say? The neck turns the head.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. So anyway, I went to this one on long weekend, Australia Day weekend in 1974, just around when the flood was.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I went to that at the Bagneux Seminary, where they trained the priests.
Yep.
And that was a very cold. Castle type place, rocks and stones.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so in the building itself. So.
And next session, Freemasonry, right?
No. Never got there at all.
Oh, that's good.
At the end of that, you've got a little red book called The Fourth Day. And that's the rest of your life, basically.
It
then gave you instructions in this little red book, and it was almost like the same shape as the old catechism that we used to learn.
Yeah.
So it gave instructions of how to have home meetings, and so we'd have a meeting with other people that were in our parish had been to that Casillo type thing.
Yep.
So it was like a home church type setup.
Yep.
So. And we just did our own Bible study and everything, which up until then in the Catholic Church we were told, don't read your Bible, you won't interpret it correctly, you've got to get the priest's interpretation.
Wow.
So that's how it was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's that way today.
Okay.
There's a lot of Bible study now.
Yep.
And that's good. So
yeah, for sure.
But I think the charismatic movement has or Pentecostal movement has actually been a catalyst for that.
Yeah.
So praise God for that.
Absolutely.
We went through that, and then Jean was still not real good on the Catholic side because she wasn't getting all her answers, and she was asking me questions I couldn't answer. And I said, go talk to the priest, you know. So she talked to the priest. At least she did everything, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't sit back. And and then she started watching all these Christian programs on TV, you know, Freddie Price and Hour of Power, Robert Schiller. There was Clark Taylor with The New Way of Living.
Yep.
And that was in our own backyard. So she decided, I'm going to go and check this out at West End days, you know.
Just around the corner, really.
From where we were.
We were at Hawthorne. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm still with the Catholic side of things, and I'm just saying, So I used to sit there with the Bible. I got my Bible I used to sit there and just with these Christian programs, and I'd say to her, I didn't say it to her, I'm saying to myself, I'm going to watch these with you, and if these guys do it, put a foot wrong by this word, I'm going to nail their hide. So that was where I was coming from, protecting my wife and trying to protect what I'd been taught.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Freddie Price one day had on this TV program said, man is spirit and soul and body. And I go, what? And here it is in the scripture, man is spirit and soul and body. Three distinct functions. And I go, okay. Most of my Catholic teaching had said spirit and soul were interchangeable, virtually the same thing.
Dichotomy.
And New Age says the same thing.
Mm.
So, but it's not. So that really shook me.
Yeah.
So I had my Bible, had the scripture, went off to them because I'd watched the programs before Mass time on 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and then I'd go off to Mass.
Okay.
And then I saw the priest
You had your own questions.
straight round after he's to the sacristy where he changes.
Yeah.
And I knocked on the door and said, I was watching a Christian TV program this morning, and I was watching it in the Bible too, and in this scripture it says, man is spirit and soul and body. Can you explain that to me, please? Because I've always thought spirit and soul were
like the same thing,
sort of. Within the same thing.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, I don't have time now, but this guy's a senior priest. He's a monsignor, which is one short of a bishop.
Yeah.
And I would have expected him to know the answer, but anyway, he didn't. So I said, okay, well, check it out. Give me the answer next Sunday. So next Sunday I went to communion and I give him the nod and he knows I'm coming. And get round to the sacristy, he's gone.
Oh, he just took off.
Took off. And I thought, ooh, okay. And there was a school fete just after that. So the week after on the Saturday. And anyway, he was tall and I was a bit tall and we could see above the heads. And I saw him about 50 metres that way. And he spotted me, but he pretended not to. And I started making a beeline for him through the crowd. When I got there, gone.
No way.
So I thought, but this stage we're going to Christian Outreach Centre.
Okay.
And getting a lot of teaching. I still went to the Catholic Church for 7 years.
Yeah, wow.
Doing my duty, and I'd do that on a Saturday night, and then I'd go for 2 hours on a Sunday morning and 2 hours on a Sunday night to Christian Outreach Centre because it was feeding me. It was giving a new foundation.
Yeah.
And in that seven-year period, I got enough biblical knowledge, and then at the end of that, this guy in the church gave me a Crusader series of comics put out by Jack Chick, which actually talks about this Dr. Alberto Rivera, who actually was a Jesuit priest and got high up from Spain into the Vatican and got opportunity to study in the Vatican. But when he got ordained, someone gave him a King James Bible, which was not allowed. It was heresy to have that, but he kept it. And he used to compare everything the church was teaching with what the King James says because he wanted to know how to convert them.
Oh, really?
See, we all have our motivations, God uses those to bring us around, you know. So,
and his word is living.
And the truth sets us free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and his word is the truth.
Yeah.
So anyway, he knows how to get us all. He made us. Sure knows how to get us. But anyway, these Chick publications, and this guy had wrestled for 6 months before he'd given to me because he thought, oh, this is going to shake his tree. Oh. He was groaning within himself and he thought, oh, if he gets angry, he'll knock my block off. So, because he was a shorter guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Saturday morning, we're sitting in bed. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Sitting in bed and reading these four comics that he gave us. Well, it was five, actually. One was about the angel of light, which is how Satan comes as an angel of light. And then there was Alberto, double-crossed, Godfathers and the Four Horsemen. And these are big-sized comics. And it was good that they were in a comic form because picture and words together gave it a better thing. To read it in a book, I would never have done that.
Yeah, okay.
Because I just hated reading anyway. But I would happily read something that was true, and like a real life story, and had a purpose for what I could use going forward. But I was a slow reader. But I had good comprehension, so that was good. So anyway, these comics... I was reading Alberto and Double Crossed, and Jean was reading the other two, which was more in depth to what the Catholic thing. And I'm reading and just being straight reading, and she's reading, going, waiting for me to explode. Anyway, I finished the second comic, and I said, "That's it. I'm going to see the priest." So I put my feet on the floor. And just about to get up, and these words come to me, "No, don't go yet, read the other two, and then go."
Ah.
So we swapped.
Yep.
And so all that morning, probably about 4 hours of it, we read these four comics.
Yeah.
At the end of the fourth comic, I didn't have to go and see the priest.
Yep.
It was all fully covered and explained.
Yep.
Now, if somebody read that hadn't been through the Catholic or Anglican traditional religion type setup, they would just not believe any of it.
Yeah, okay.
It's just too much. But yep. because I had been through it,
yep.
And I could identify with what they were saying,
mm-hmm.
it really made a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay.
But God didn't give it to me until he had laid a new foundation.
Yep.
And I made the mistake of giving those same comics to my parents without the foundation. Oh, that didn't go down.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so as a result of our Christian conversion, we changed completely. That's when I left the Catholic Church after that 7 years.
Okay, yep.
And just pursued biblical Christianity.
Yeah, yep.
And my wife and I had this times where we'd spark up a bit.
Yep.
And so we went through a marriage seminar called Marriage Plus,
mm-hmm.
By Ray Mossholder, put that together over a 10-year period.
Yep.
And it's in a book now, you can get it online. So so this Marriage Plus covered what God says about marriage, what God says about divorce, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, sex in marriage, finances in marriage, raising children, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But each of the segments on the role of the wife and the role of the husband, there was four tapes on that. Tapes were before CDs, if you don't know what they are.
You couldn't put them in your iPhone.
No. But anyway, so there was four, and they're an hour each. You know, so
yeah, wow.
So
yeah.
There's in-depth teaching,
yeah, yeah.
Which really just changed the course of our marriage.
Yeah, I could
and
imagine.
And it gave us understanding of not clashing, but complementing.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so we are together. It's not why is he so different from me or why is she so different from me. It's how we bring the differences to be a completion of each other.
Yeah.
When we understood that, that changed the whole course of our marriage.
Well, it's sort of like gears are meant to merge together, not grind against each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Although there's a time when you get diamonds in the rough, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to cut the facets and then polish them. So God's cutting and fashioning us as we go by grinding on each other, et cetera, you know, or chipping from each other, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way we visualized it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So anyway, because of that transformation of our marriage, Craig Anderson in COC was the assistant pastor then under Clark. He actually asked us to do the marriage seminars.
Cool.
And of the Ray Mossholder material, because we got the whole manual and the whole deal.
Yep.
So we did a whole series on that over about a 3-year period in the late 80s. Right up to about 1990, I think it was.
Okay, yep.
So we ran two of those seminars a year,
mm-hmm.
Which was over, I think it was about an 8 or 10 week period. But the marriage thing we learnt was the covenant relationship.
Yeah, you know? Big one.
So we learned about that and how we to complement and to complete each other. And we were... Every time we went to go and do these seminars, the devil would push buttons in each of us and there'd be an arcing up.
I could imagine.
And because the devil's never happy when he's not winning, you know.
Yeah.
So and he'll cause trouble any way he can.
Mm-hmm.
But God has got our back and we just stay true to the word and he brings us through.
Yeah.
So anyway... In these marriage seminars, we actually got to the point of knowing the covenant relationship and that Jesus was actually saying at the Last Supper a marriage proposal.
Mm.
So the marriage proposal was at the Last Supper, he was saying, unless you drink of this cup, you can't be part of me.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a little documentary movie called Before the Wrath, W-R-A-T-H. And that talks about the Galilean marriage ceremony, and that enriched me. I only got introduced to that here.
Yeah, yep.
Probably about 5 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but anyway, that was amazing because of the marriage seminars we'd done.
Yeah.
So that was just rich. To get back to the question of how God helped me with my wife passing, had to have that background before I could answer that, because our marriage just got richer and richer and richer, and it was just so good all the way through. We still had our differences, but we didn't have anything. We just time out, you know. Mm-hmm. And but at one stage when we're coming through that, we're having a bit of a arc up, and the biblical teaching had been getting in there, and we started to know what was going on in the spirit realm. And as I can just see Jean there, but behind her I could see these things in the air like little Pac-Men, you know?
Yeah.
And
wow.
And they're going, and I could see them just pushing buttons in Jean and pushing buttons in me.
Yeah.
So there's the devil behind pushing our sensitivity buttons.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
You mongrels.
Yeah, that's right.
So I said to Jean, stop. I just saw this. And she was in. Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what's causing our problems all the time, mm-hmm. is these devils behind the scene pushing our sensitivity buttons.
Yeah.
And not willing, always wanting to be, this is what I want. Well, it's not about I, it's about us.
Yeah.
And when you come to the us and under God, everything, God commands the blessing.
Mm.
In unity, God commands the blessing. So, but the enemy is still there poking you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So right from that very time, we signaled this time out. If ever we got into this thing, we just, whoever recognised it first, timed out, go away, calm down, sit in a public place with a cup of coffee and talk through our issues biblically.
Yeah, perfect.
And that worked a treat.
Yeah.
So that was why Craig got us to do those seminars, because he saw the difference it made.
Yeah.
But anyway, because of that marriage understanding the depth and what the marriage relationship is about, and what Jesus, when we're born again, we're actually accepting his betrothal offer that he gave at the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Then with that knowledge and understanding, I was able to hand Jean over when it was obvious he was going to pass to the Lord as her new husband, because that's, we are called the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
The church is the bride of Christ. So why are we the bride of Christ? Because he's the bridegroom,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be with him. And that's what's going to happen at the rapture.
Yeah.
So I just said to Jean, when it was obvious 3 days before she passed, I just said to her, I said, honey, I said, you know, with the marriage seminars, it's actually what we know from blood covenant and everything, that your Jesus is our husband and you're going to go and be with him. So I thanked her for being my wife in the natural,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that we'd grown and learnt together. And then said to her, when Jesus comes, you just go and be happy, mm-hmm. and everything will be fine here, because God will be looking after it and I will too.
Mm.
So, and it was emotional, but at the same time, she just was totally at peace. She just rolled over and went to sleep, and I sat back on the chair. And with that sitting back on the chair, God popped a song in my head that I hadn't heard since COC days for a long, long time. And it was simply, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go.
Mm.
You fashion me from the miry clay. And this peace came over me.
Wow.
So, sure, I had plenty of crying time.
Yeah.
In the natural, but it wasn't lasting. And it wasn't a long-term grief process.
Yep.
So, and God said, I've got things for you to do.
Amen. I guess bringing God acknowledging God in your situation is and handing Gene over to Christ.
Mm. We both acknowledged him as being sovereign.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that sort of opens the door for God's grace in your life to be able to move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've experienced it amazingly.
Yeah, because I remember those times and just thinking, wow, Laurie just seems so strong, like so he's doing...
At peace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was... It really was miraculous to be able to know what you're going through, what had happened, and yeah.
God's love and grace, basically. Oh, yep.
Yep. No, it was,
and the very first time I visited the grave afterwards, I just sat there and acknowledged her, but the words came to me, she's not here. And I had this I had this vision of her dancing around heaven with Jesus.
No, yeah, exactly
so,
right.
You know.
Yep. Yep.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
She's not there. She's in heaven.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Laurie, so much for your story.
Mm.
Unfortunately, again, I wish we had more time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But we are looking at another second episode where we can bring our guests back and they can answer some of your questions or some of your comments. We would love to have that, and you know, we're here to ask questions and help you in your journey too. But thank you again for your story, because I think this is a very powerful story, and a lot of people, you know, have marital problems or are facing problems within their family that can hear your story that you've said today and give them hope
to
move forward, because it's not impossible.
Absolutely.
Everything's possible by God. So thank you so much. And
once we put God on the throne of our marriage, it's like a triangle, but, you know, we're equal, but God's sovereign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we've got a difference of opinion, we just go to his word and he'll give us the answer.
That's right.
Great. Thank you so much. Would you like to pray for our viewers and us as a show?
Sure.
But most importantly, praying for people who've gone through the same grief of loss and people who are having marital problems or having relational problems. I think that's one of the focus of the prayer. So would you like to pray for us?
Yeah. One of the first things that God laid into me as a foundation was in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto us." So what are all these things? All our dreams, hopes and desires. That's what God wants to give us.
Mm.
But we have to seek first the kingdom of God and do it his way.
Yeah.
Not like Jacko, I did it my way.
Yeah.
Or I'm an individual.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just give you all thanks. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you for your son, Jesus, to pay the price, to set us free, the blood covenant exchange of giving his robe of righteousness to us and him taking our sins and iniquities away from us and giving us the victory over those things and the devil. Because you said, resist the devil and he will flee. And we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won the victory. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, in every marriage and in every grieving situation where people have lost their partner, their lifelong partner, that they just have the knowledge and that the Father is the loving Father and Jesus is the loving husband, in Jesus' name. And we just give you the praise, the glory and the honor that he's got us covered. We just have to trust and rely on him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, guys, for joining us for our show. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a beautiful conversation with Laurie, and we hope you join us for our next episode of Real Talk Friday.
As we conclude our episode of Real Talk Friday, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all our listeners for joining us on this enlightening journey.
But our journey doesn't end here. Join us every Friday as we continue to uncover the real stories of real people, where authenticity intersects with spirituality in profound ways. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of life, finding inspiration and hope in the remarkable narrative shared within the walls of Logan City Christian Church.
Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, may your faith journey be filled with grace, understanding, and the unwavering presence of God. Stay tuned for more Real Talk every Friday on Real Talk Friday.